Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the east. I can see little seldom Newfoundland. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto, and this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today we're going to have some fun. Marilyn Barefoot is with us. Marilyn is the founder of Barefoot Brainstorming, and I always want to say Barefoot Barnstorming, but it's Barefoot Brainstorming. Marilyn, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you for having me.
Do you get that a lot, barnstorming, by any chance?
That is the first time, Robert,
really?
Ever in my life, my career, that anyone has said barnstorming. I think I've heard most everything, but then you always surprise me.
Well, barefootbrainstorming.com is where we'll find Marilyn. Let's step back a bit before we get deeply into this. Tell us about yourself and how you came to found Barefoot Brainstorming.
My background is born and raised in Toronto, which I guess is unusual enough, and I am an advertising agency brat. So my whole life, I have worked in the advertising agency business. I was always on the account services side, so senior vice president, client services, McDonald's Restaurants of Canada type of titles. I was the interface between the client and the creative team in making big ideas happen. I've worked for big guys like BBDO, and I've worked for small guys like myself. I had my own agency for about 9 years, which was called Square Peg. Through that entire process, the thing I realized that I loved more than anything was the blank page, was the challenge of the client has a problem, has an issue, and we need to come up with some really creative ideas to solve it. That was the genesis of my travels to figure out how best to do that. And that was also then the genesis of Barefoot Brainstorming 10 years ago.
So on barefootbrainstorming.com, I love the heading, Big Ideas Guaranteed and Big Ideas Win New Business. I want to get into this a little bit because I know that you are seen in this world that you work in as a guru when it comes to developing processes that help firms generate new ideas. How did you ever develop that skill set? That's really unique.
I was exposed to these brainstorming techniques originally in Scandinavia when I was doing some work with Tetra Pak when I had my own agency. And they had hired me to fly over there to work with them on an international conference where they were hosting 600 of their Tetra Pak people from all around the world in the south of France. They asked me to come to Scandinavia for a few days in advance of that because they wanted to train me in the facilitation style that their people at Tetra Pak were accustomed to. So my first exposure to these techniques was in Scandinavia. And when I saw it and learned it, it was kind of like you find your tribe. You realize you found the home place, your heart place, where this is something that I just immediately gravitated to. In doing some more research, I realized that where this actually came from was the Creative Problem Solving Institute, which is based in the University of Buffalo in Upper State New York. So I then traveled back to Buffalo State University and got certified there.
Certified in a technique or a process?
Yes. So Creative Problem Solving Institute has a process that is based on two things, divergent and convergent thinking. And this whole CIPSI, Creative Problem Solving Institute, CIPSI for short, was founded by Mr. Parnes and Mr. Osborne in 1956. And Mr. Osborne was the man who actually invented and created the word brainstorming.
Get out. That word's only been around since the 50s?
Yes, apparently. He was the guy. He was also the O in BBDO. He was one of the founding partners of that particular advertising agency. So Sid Parnes and Mr. Osborne were sort of the founders of this creative thinking process, if you will. And it's still around today. In fact, the Creative Problem Solving Institute is having their conference, I believe, next week at the University of Buffalo.
So I want to get into techniques in a few minutes, but I want to understand also, are there challenges to creativity in business that you see routinely?
Yes, and I can answer that in one word, fear.
Fear of?
A fear of the unknown. When I walk into a room, whether it's a room of very, very, very senior executives at a Fortune 500 company or whether it's a room full of entrepreneurs in a startup, it doesn't matter. I will get one of three reactions, generally all three by different people. Number one, when they walk into the room and they see how the room is set up, some people will say, wow, this is awesome. I can't wait. This is going to be so much fun. That's unusual. The second group, openly, they will say, I am scared. I am terrified. I'm not a creative person. You're going to ask me to be creative, and I don't know how to do that. And I'm really terrible. At the base of that is fear. And then the third group is usually the higher up in the seniority level that you go in the organization. This is the one that you see the most often, which is, I am so busy. I have so much on my plate. I have so many emails. I'm a very important executive. I don't have time for this crap. And that, if you boil it down, is really fear as well.
So it doesn't matter, Fortune 500, small, medium-sized business, those are the issues that hold us all back from being creative. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about the techniques to overcome that. Is it the same for Fortune 500 as it is for small and medium-sized businesses, or are the techniques different somehow?
It is exactly the same. My approach being, we can get into this in a minute, but the diverge-converge way of thinking is that you have to just allow about 20 minutes to explain this process to people, both creatively and scientifically. A lot of very senior people who have a lot of fear around creativity. And the fear is, I don't want to look stupid in front of my people. I don't want you to put me on the spot and ask me to be creative and pull some brilliant idea out of the air. The higher up you go in an organization, the longer it takes for these individuals to feel comfortable, but it generally will take between 20 minutes and 30 minutes. And then we've got everybody on the same playing field and everyone is enjoying it, participating, and coming up with amazing ideas.
So I want to hear a technique then. How do we pull people into this?
First of all, I put people in smaller teams. So let's say we have 25 people in a brainstorming session. I don't walk in and work with 25 people as one large group. I will use a little tool, creativity processing tool quiz in advance of the session to separate people into five groups of five. So there's mini teams. And that automatically brings a fear level down in that one person is not standing up and speaking in front of 24 people. Now they're standing up and speaking in front of four people. They're a little team. That's number one. Being inside a little team helps people feel like they're protected, if you will, around the team and the whole room isn't necessarily listening. And if they're presenting ideas, they're presenting them on behalf of the whole team, not just them as an individual. I do photographic association exercise to explain, to warm up, to show them the power of the technique. So everybody on the team is given a random photograph. They're asked to look at the photograph. They're then asked to write down on a large 3M easel pad of paper that sits beside their team table all the words that they think of when they look at that picture. So somebody will stand up with some reasonable handwriting and give me a bunch of words on their team sheet. And they'll just do that without knowing why they're being asked to do that. That's the divergent thinking. Creatively just, hey, what does that make you think of? Any word is a fair game word to throw out. Then you assign the task, which is the convergent thinking, and in this case it would be come up with a name for your team. So they take a couple of those words, two or three of those words, and they throw them together and they come up with some crazy name for their team, and they laugh and they bond and they have fun. And now the team has an identity beyond team two. Actually, I just left Weston Foods, so one of the team names was Sexy Saturday Night. And I use this as a demonstration to say, if I'd sat you in a room and said, okay, we're all brainstorming, does anyone have an idea? Would this team have, out of the blue, pulled the name Sexy Saturday Nights? The answer is always no, of course not. So they start to see how this works in terms of putting your mind in a really interesting place and then forcing associations to the problem statement.
So I wonder if we can look at this from the perspective of something a little bit different, and that is ensuring that our audience, our listeners who are all managers, entrepreneurs, startups, and some people with a lot of depth to their business, but they're always hiring new people and they're turning over staff and engage the right people. Is there a way to ensure that our listeners engage the kind of people that they will be able to brainstorm successfully with?
It's a great question, Robert. And my answer is this. every single one of us is creative. I did a session in Miami with 90 people where it was an all-staff offsite. Every single person, including the guy who was in charge of the parking garage, was there. If you give people a process like this and guide them through it, it doesn't matter who they are, what department of the company they work in, how much knowledge of the subject matter they have. In fact, sometimes, in the case of the Miami offsite for Burger King, the guy who came up with the best ideas was the guy who was in charge of the parking garage.
I would like to hear his idea, please.
We were brainstorming around day parts. So the breakfast day part, the snack day part, the lunch day part. How can we increase traffic specifically around these various day parts in the Burger King world? The snack day part, which is not a meal, but just, hey, a coffee and a muffin. They needed to increase people's consumption in the snack day parts. We did an exercise, which was basically that the team created a line drawing, and then they traded their drawing with another team. They got a new drawing. They start to look at this drawing from different angles and say, well, what do you see? Sort of like lying in the field looking up at clouds and saying, I see a rabbit or I see a dinosaur. One of the things that this gentleman who ran the parking garage was a part of saw a tent. So one of the ways we do this is the word association. So you look at this group of words and I say, okay, how are we going to increase snack consumption at Burger King? Use that list of words and see if anybody has an idea. And this man said, well, I have something around tent. And I said, okay, well, what is that? And this is just about spit it out. I don't care how raw or unformed the idea is. Just share it with your team and let's see where this goes. He said, well, like a snack is like a nice time for you to sit with a coffee and a muffin and gather your thoughts and just get a peaceful moment away from the melee of the world and the craziness. So it feels a little bit like a cozy, in your tent, enclosed, sheltering, there was the key word, place. So we said, okay, well then what do we do with that? And this team brainstormed around it, and then he looked at his team and said, I know what we do with that. We'll become the snack shelter. No better, we'll become the tax shelter. So this then led into a time of year when in the United States, people are scrambling like we are in Canada to get our personal taxes done. So McDonald's in a certain region in the United States actually tested this idea where you can come into us, you can sit down, you can have a free coffee, a 50% off snack item, a muffin, a pie, a yogurt and fruit, whatever you wanted, and we'll have tax consultants available. Bring your stuff, sit down, talk to these people, and they'll actually be able to give you some guidance, help filling things out, answer questions, and it is a nice, safe, casual environment that you can do that. So there was his idea about the tax shelter, which they tried in several markets, and it worked like a charm.
Yeah, well, we could get into that debate for a long time, I imagine. But that's pretty interesting how the parking lot guy came up with the idea that they ultimately put into effect to just see, to test the market, test the creativity. I want to go another direction for a second and see if there's some things that you can share with us. Let's say three things that you can share with us that we can put into action today that will ensure that our teams are on point, aligned, and creative every day in their approach to business.
I think it starts at the top, Robert, that your company, your organization, your group, whatever it is, right from the very top, they have to embrace the idea of innovation and they have to embrace the idea of change and they also have to embrace the idea of try something and we'll celebrate it if it fails, we'll celebrate it if it works. But the concept of opening people's mind where they're not afraid to bring up ideas or suggest things because it might not work and therefore they're going to be chastised for it. So that's number one, is that they have to lay that plank to say, you won't be chastised and nobody's going to look at you and say, wow, that's a really stupid idea, because this is a company that has a culture that wants to explore those kinds of interesting new ideas. I think that you, as a president, as an owner, as a management team, encourage it by having people that sit down and do a regular session, spitballing session, bring in an interesting lunch and have 5, 6, 8 people sit around and throw around ideas. Yes, sure, using a facilitator or not, but do that on a regular basis so that it isn't just nose to the grindstone all the time. It's, let's just talk about this. Let's kick this around. And there are all kinds of techniques that I can send people or share with people that they could use to get the creative juices flowing. And then I think lastly, in order for people to really be creative and think in interesting and different ways, there's a need for them to always kind of be inspired. So I say to folks, bring in interesting speakers. Bring in people that don't have anything to do with your business that are doing really interesting things over the lunch hour. And have them talk for a few minutes about what's going on in that world and what's interesting and what's inspiring, just so that we always have our minds very open into interesting new things that are going on in the world.
So let's just spread sideways for one last second. Let's talk about brand building and brand awareness, because branding is a big, big thing. I'm not sure whether I believe branding is for small business or if it's only for Coca-Cola, because Coke cannot know Robert Gold or Marilyn Barefoot, but Bennett Gold, my firm, and Barefoot Brainstorming, your firm, we can know each other because we're local, we're relationship driven. But in fact, is brand building and brand awareness something that local businesses should glean onto? And what would be the trick to do that?
Everybody, even our individual selves, we're all a brand. And so whether you're Coca-Cola, who I have done a lot of work with over the years, whether you're McDonald's, Burger King, or whether you're Barefoot Brainstorming or Robert Gold, they have to have a brand, and that brand has to represent something. It has to have a story, a meaning, and a value to its customers. I also infuse these techniques that we've talked about in terms of creative thinking into strategic planning and trying to figure out, well, who are we? Who do we want to be? Where are we missing in terms of this is who we are today, but this is where we want to be tomorrow, or who we want to be tomorrow? And what are some of the things we have to do to deliver on that to the people that we are serving internally in our own organization, which is the most important, and externally in our organization?
Marilyn Barefoot, founder, Barefoot Brainstorming, barefootbrainstorming.com. I think some of these tips were fantastic. And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, managing partner of Bennett Gold LLP, chartered accountants in Toronto. If you want to know how we embrace change, check us out at bennettgold.ca. Find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Little Seldom, Newfoundland.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.